Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hey, please be seated, everyone. Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation and received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And no one approached you about this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you haven't seen any media coverage. Is that correct?
Correct.
Members of the jury, I'm going to be able to ask most of the questions. I went over these questions outside the presence of Ms. Beattie. Ms. Beattie. I'll address this note later on. Okay. Ms. Beattie, do you recall for verbal Let me restart it again. Did you call DCF for verbal consent for these photos, or did you have a signed consent for these photos to be taken?
Verbal consent.
And will this be in the medical record for the jury to review?
I think it's in my note, but I'd have to go back and look at my note.
Did these photos ever become part of Maya's medical records?
No.
Who helped you with the second set of photos?
The bedside nurse.
Did you document in her chart the purpose of these photos or the date and time that you completed them?
I'm not sure if I documented them in my chart because these were something that was outside of what we would usually document.
Why would the hospital take a child's first name off the door? Isn't there many children with the first same name?
So I don't know why they pulled all of the nameplates off there, but there are many children with the same first name, but I think usually it was the last name was involved too, and so we wanted to make sure that nobody else was going to attempt to go in the room.
If Maya is using profanity in the hospital, why is it not documented anywhere in her chart?
So the best that I can tell you about that is a lot of times I had teenagers, I had young kids, I had kids from different backgrounds. A lot of times kids use profanity. Unless it was becoming an issue where it was very degradatory, you know, we just gave the kids grace. If it became degradatory or it became that it was very abusive, then we discussed it with the kids and it would have been documented in the chart. We would discuss it with the parents. And it would have been documented in the chart. But it wasn't every day, and this was one time that I remember. I mean, she would get mad at all of us and say things like, you know, she'd just say things. But you give the kid grace. That's a hard situation to be in. I don't want that to follow her forever.
Medical professionals are allowed to put things in quotes, are they not?
Yes.
When you placed Maya on your lap, was there someone in the room to witness this interaction?
There wasn't anyone in the room, but her door was open, and nurses and family members and things like that would walk by during the time that this was going on. So we were always within sight of people.
Who took the photos when Maya got back from court?
I took those photos.
Was there a second person involved with you taking her return photos?
Yes, the bedside nurse.
Is that person's name documented?
It would be documented because that person would have done a nursing assessment on her that day.
Prior to October 2016, how much experience did you have with Munchausen?
That's a good question. So through Suncoast Center, we had a couple of kids that were actually were in foster care because of Munchausen. I had one or two cases before Maya got there. And then afterwards, I had a couple of cases. Throughout the years, usually if you don't work in a pediatric intensive care unit or you're not working in child welfare, you may not see that many cases.
In reference to the code of ethics and you comforting the patient, boundaries, mental harm, you started to state, quote, depends, end quote. Is the jury to take this as the, quote, ethics, end quote, you were to abide to are, in your view, open to your personal interpretation?
So there are guidelines, and with guidelines, they're open to what the situation brings. And many times, kids would come up to us for comfort. We might side hug them. We might hold their hand. There were many times that I would be with kids while their procedures were happening, and I would be using skills to help them relax during that time. And I might hold their hand, I might rub their head, I might rub their feet, depending on where they were in the situation. But you weren't doing anything that was invasive. And it certainly didn't happen every day.
During the time of Maya's stay, she testified about being in the hospital chapel. Today, you said that you were never in the All Children's Hospital chapel with Maya. Am I correct in what I heard you say?
So let me clarify. I was in the chapel with Maya and her attorney for a phone call that she did with the court, but Maya and I were never alone in the chapel.
If Maya was transported from her room to the chapel and then back to her room, would there not be, especially during this time, Maya was under a protective order, an entry in the logs of Maya's records of who transported Maya, the time, to where, how long, if that, quote, transport staff, end quote, stayed in the time returning to the patient's assigned room, or is it normal not to document the patient's whereabouts?
So it's kind of, for the kids, always the bedside nurse knew where they are, where they were going. If they were going down to the activity center or say that they were going down, they were there with a visit and with their parent and they might be going downstairs. So, the bedside nurse always knew where that child was.
While Maya and her attorney were in the room talking attorney-client protections, were you located anywhere in proximity, even anywhere in the hall to Maya's room, or were you behind the nurse's station counter?
I was behind the nurse's station. If you're talking about Mr. Zimmerman, I was behind the nurse's station.
In the series of before and after photos we have seen again today, I'd like to confirm after you seeing them freshly today, in the befores, you do not recall the person that assisted you.
I know it was the bedside nurse, but I didn't know her name.
Okay. In the after photos, you do not recall the person that assisted you.
I don't. I know it was the bedside nurse, but I don't know her name.
In both sets of photos, do you recall the name of the patient you were photographing?
Yes, I do.
You testified much of what you did was at the direction of risk management of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. During that time, do you know who was on what risk management advisory board or team?
So risk management was a department, and it's whoever was there. I spoke frequently with Patty, but I also spoke with some of the other risk management people during that time too.
Ms. Croyles, do you have any follow-up?
Just briefly. You were asked if you knew the name of the child you were photographing. Who were you photographing?
Maya Kowalski.
With respect to taking photographs, is this the first patient you've had where somebody's been sheltered by DCF?
No.
Is it unusual to take photographs of DCF sheltered children?
Objection. Chapter 39.
I'm going to overrule that one.
So we don't do it often, but sometimes if there's something that we need to document, we go ahead and do it and get it to the CPI or to the DCF people.
Thank you.
That documentation is in the emergency room, is it not?
Objection made.
Sustained.
The documentation of photographs with other children, did you say that it happens with other children?
Yes, it can happen with other children.
Those are in instances where somebody has a cigarette burn on them or a broken arm or a cut or something like that, true?
I can't tell you what the circumstances would be. There's many circumstances.
It's not for a situation like this where there are none of those, is it?
That's not entirely true, no.
All right. Who gave you the verbal consent?
It would have been DCF, Charlotte LaPorte.
Okay. Well, did you comply with all of DCF's policies of what you have to do before you take the photos?
Objection, Your Honor. Chapter 39.
Question is going to ask a different question.
Did you comply with Johns Hopkins policies?
I'd have to look at them all the way to see if we complied with everything.
Publish it. 2277.
Yeah, we're going to publish. Your Honor, it's in evidence. May we publish it?
If it's in evidence, yes.
2277-281A. Direct your attention towards the bottom there of the paragraph where there is a 1, a 2, and a 3. Do you see those?
I do see those.
Well, first, do you agree this is a Johns Hopkins requirement?
I see that it's a Johns Hopkins policy.
All right. Then take a look at 1, 2, and 3. Did you attempt to contact the parents? That's the question. First question is, did you attempt to contact the parents?
I did not. But I did contact DCF.
Did you make any further attempts, or at least document it in the record, that you tried to get a hold of the parents?
I didn't attempt to call the parents.
And did you comply with number 3, the actual contact with the parents' legal guardian, advising the parents' legal guardian of consent and treatment authorized by DCF?
I did contact DCF, who was the legal guardian at the time for the child, yes.
No. There was a guardian ad litem appointed, was there not?
The guardian ad litem doesn't have consent.
Did you document anywhere in the file, if the jury was to look, that you tried to contact the GAL?
I wouldn't have contacted the GAL. The GAL is not the guardian.
And in the records, would you agree, there is no analysis of these photos from a medical standpoint?
I don't know that.
So you knew going in that you were, what reason was it then?
Dr. Danielson asked us to document her skin condition.
And you would do that no matter whether it was allowed or not?
Objection, argumentative.
True.
Overruled. She answered that.
So we did this, or I did this, because this was asked of us by Dr. Danielson, and it had a good reason for it. If it was not a good reason, I certainly would have been discussing it with the medical team.
Dr. Danielson is not with DCF, is she?
No, she's not.
Charlotte Laporte, did you attempt to get authorization from Charlotte Laporte?
I did get authorization, talked with Charlotte Laporte that day.
You say you did.
Mm-hmm.
So if she testified in this courtroom that you did not, would she be incorrect?
Objection, argument.
Overruled.
I don't know. I was talking to her that day, and they were doing their own pictures in Sarasota.
So, go ahead.
And I explained to her that we were doing the photos here at the hospital.
Again, I just need to know, is she says in court that you did not seek any permission from her, is she wrong?
I can't. I don't know what she said and what she didn't say.
The reason for the cracked door policy involving attorneys is to make sure that the child, if the child falls, that you can yell, that the child can yell and you can hear them, true?
Correct.
Do you really think her attorney wouldn't help her if she did?
I can't speak to that.
Well,
sustained.
Would you agree with me there was a person in there?
I can agree with you, yes. Sure.
A person who had ethical duties to her, in fact, as an attorney.
Well, those aren't the same as medical.
Okay. Well, if she were to have a fall, wouldn't there be somebody right there next to her to help?
I can't speak to that. We left the door open. That was part of the policy. When you had a risk for a fall, you left the door open.
I thought you said there was a lot of discretion in how to follow these.
There are sometimes.
Okay.
Overruled.
Sometimes there can be some discretion, but this is a big one, because if she fell and hit her head, or fell and broke something.
If she fell and hit her head, or fell and broke something, don't you think her lawyer would come out and let you know?
I can only speak to you that we left the door open.
You left the door open,
yes,
not to protect Maya, but so you could hear what was going on in there, didn't you?
Absolutely not, because you can't hear from the nurse's station. There are so many beeps and buzzers and phones going off. You can't hear from the nurse's station into a patient's room.
As to the Nurses Association rules of ethics, whether they are, what did you call them, guidelines or not, you violated them, did you not?
Objection, argumentative, misstates the guidelines he's referencing to, for one, but argumentative.
Sustained.
Regardless of how you designate them, you violated those guidelines, did you not?
Objection, argumentative.
Overruled.
No, I did not. I provided comfort to a child who was extremely upset, who was extremely emotional, and who asked for comfort.
Without any authorization from the parents. Why didn't you call the parents?
I'm not sure in that moment that you would stop and call parents. I think you would attend to the child.
Why not call? Why not call?
Sorry,
sorry. She can finish.
Can he not interrupt?
Go ahead.
The witness.
Yeah. Please let her finish the answer.
Yes, sir.
I think you would attend to the situation, attend to the child, and try to provide comfort for the child. I certainly would have not walked out on her to then make phone calls.
Well, for her to be so upset that you had to put her on your lap. This had to be going on for a considerable period of time, didn't it?
It happened pretty quickly because once I said to her that she wasn't going to be able to go home for Christmas, tears came. She was very upset.
My point being that she couldn't get that upset if it was quick, and if it was long, you could call the parents.
So it's reasonable to provide comfort to a child, and that's what I did.
On direct examination, you testified that you could tell between the two photographs which bra Maya had on at the time, the training bra or the other bra, correct?
Right.
You can remember that, but you have no memory of who helped you?
Objection, argumentative.
Overruled.
So that was a long time ago, and I don't remember who her nurses were every day and who helped.
Yes, I know, but the point is, how could you remember all the things you described for the jury on direct examination and forget that?
So I knew how that she had changed clothes to go to court, and I knew that she had, when she came back, she had on different clothes. But I don't remember the bedside nurse's names. I'm sorry.
So, if we're correct, and if the jury were to conclude, say, that this was brutal to do what was happening with these photos, you did it to her twice?
Objection. Argumentative.
Overruled.
I can't tell you what the jury's going to find or not find. I certainly didn't do anything to try to be brutal. If anything, we tried very hard to be very professional with Maya. I left the room once we were done so that she could change and get ready to go. And once she was done with the nighttime pictures, she and the nurse, I left the room again for her to get changed for night.
And why wasn't there a time stamp on any of these photos?
I don't know that I understand that question.
You know what a timestamp is?
Yeah.
It's in the bottom corner of photographs?
Yeah, I can't speak to that. I use the camera that they told me.
If the jury were to go search for those photographs in the medical record, they would not find them, would they?
I don't think so.
Nor would they find any consent in the medical records that you called anyone on behalf of the parents. True?
A sustained unasked answer.
It was as to the medical records.
Sustained unasked answer.
And would you agree with me in the photo showing Maya's face that she did not look happy at all, did she?
Asked and answered on his original.
No, I did not.
Okay, I'm going to overrule that one.
She did not look happy.
She was not happy. Why did you not stop and call the parents?
Objection asked and answered.
You said you got verbal consent. From whom did you get verbal consent?
Asked and answered.
Sustained.
Are you aware of the terms of the order on December 27th regarding your involvement in supervision?
Objection. Outside the scope of where we are.
Sustained.
I'm not concluded this time. No.
Ms. Correll, is anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, anything further from me? Please be seated, everybody. speedy. In the second photo, the hand in the photo does not match the bedside nurse in the first photo. Whose hand is this?
I'm not sure what photo that they're talking about.
Did you document your conversation with DCF for consent?
I'd have to look at my notes.
Did you document your verbal consent with DCF and have another witness on the phone to witness your verbal consent?
I'd have to look at my notes. I don't think I had anyone else with me.
And next question, will that be documented in the medical records for the jury to review?
I'd have to look at my notes.
Does the hospital use a log to log when children are off the floor to keep track of where the children are when they are off the unit and when they return?
Not that I'm aware of.
Are you testifying you do not know if you documented the photographs in the chart, but the bedside nurse would be documented?
So bedside nurses write a note for every day that they're there with the kids, so that name would be documented in the chart, yes.
Is that where we should look for documentation in the chart?
Yes.
Do you know what Maya changed into to wear to court?
I don't.
The person seen holding Maya's hands in the quote before end quote photos has on all black clothing. Would that be the bedside nurse?
Yes, that would have been the bedside nurse.
Did someone else have to hold her down?
No, nobody held her down.
Would that be documented?
I don't know that it would be documented because nobody needed to hold her down.
What role did Dr. Danielson have in Maya's care?
Dr. Danielson was the attending for the week, so that would be her part in the care.
What kind of device were the pictures taken on?
So this was a long time ago. I think it was on a digital camera.
Will the original file images, including encoded properties, be provided for inspection?
I don't know that.
Would there be an entry placed in writing or typed in the patient's log, similar to when a patient is transported to physical therapy or an X-ray?
For what?
Okay, well, I'm going to have to ask the whole thing. Your answer to my question was about the chapel visit, quote, the bedside nurse always knows where the patient is, end quote. That is a response. Would there be an entry placed in writing or typed in the patient's log, similar to when a patient is transported to physical therapy or an X-ray?
I don't know what the bedside nurse would log.
In reference to the before and after photos of Maya, you were testifying that those photos were taken with a hospital official camera. Is that correct?
Yes.
And no personal cameras or photos were used. Is that correct?
Yes. No personal cameras were ever used for any of our kids.
Ms. Crowells, anything further based on the jurors' questions? Mr. Anderson, anything?
You testified a lot about consent, but you did not comply with the policy except through Charlotte Laporte, correct?
Objection, asked and
answered. I'm predicate.
Overruled.
No, I'm not sure what you're asking.
Is Dr. Danielson on the risk committee?
I don't know that.
All right. Afterwards, did you document all the things you testified to in the record?
Objection, Dave.
Overruled.
I don't know what you're asking.
Would it refresh your recollection to see how you documented what you did with Maya in an email, excuse me, a memo you sent around immediately after.
Sure.
Let me pull it up.
Is it in evidence?
Yes. What's
it's in name? Evidence. It's 100294, and the second page is 95. No, that's not it. It's 194195. There you go. Now, let's bring the second one up if we can. Take a look at these now. And first tell me, was this your documentation of what you did after you did it?
The date of this one, that's
blah. We're in here. Does it explain anything of what you said you did?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, you don't say in here that you obtained consent from risk management, does it?
I'm not sure I would obtain consent from risk management.
Does it say that you got any consent from anyone?
I'd have to look at my emails from that day, too.
Did you bring those emails?
No.
Would you agree with me that if you had done all the things you said you did, it would appear in here more likely than anywhere?
I can't say that it would.
Well, then why did you do it?
I don't understand your question, Mr. Anderson. Let's not use so many pronouns.
Yes, sir. Then, who took this information?
Objection, vague.
This is as to 1002-1094.
Objection, vague.
I'm just talking about the whole thing.
Why don't you be more specific with your questions?
All right. In this exhibit, 1002-0194, in the middle, it says, actions taken or intervention completed. Do you see that?
That wasn't my note.
I see. And so where would the person putting this down get this information?
Objection.
Sustained.
If not you. Who else could give this information?
In
the entire thing.
Sustained.
It says here that Maya reports she would like to pray. Do you see that?
The note that's up on mine is my note, and I don't see that.
It's in the middle right there. It says she left the room moaning, bending at the hip, using her legs to move. See that?
I do see that.
That was not testified to in direct examination, was it?
No.
Thank you.
Ms. Froyles, anything further?
Just briefly.
So the record you just looked at, 0995, established that you took the pictures before she left. Mm-hmm. Uncle Scott was taking her, and you took the pictures when she came back.
Right.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Members, did you hear anything else? Looks like I've got at least one more question coming. should the documentation of obtaining consent be part of a medical record for any procedure done on a patient?
It can be, and there, and yes, it can be part of the medical record. And we would, if when we get consent, we would have put it in the chart. But it's a different form, and it might be in another part of the chart.
Anything else?
No.
Anything else?
But you have no idea where that is, correct?
Oh, I know. It would be under consents. There's always a consents tab within the chart.
Anything further from the jury? Okay, members of the jury, I think this is probably a good time to break for lunch. Have them back to go at 1:40. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All right. Jurors, I stay.
The jury is out of our presence. Is Ms. Beattie excused from all subpoenas, or does she need to stay under subpoena?
She's excused.
From?
Yeah, she's excused.
Okay, so she's free to go?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
I'm sorry, I keep forgetting she's not part of them anymore. No, not released at this point.
Okay.
She's not under your subpoena. Oh, she is.
Okay. Well, you're still subject to the subpoena, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. But you're free to go today. Okay, let's...
So can I just explain something to her? So
can you just wait?
Okay. Sorry, you're on.
No problem.
Are you...
Here, let... Okay, can I finish us up so we can let everybody go in? And feel free to sit down if you want. The note I received from the jury probably 30 minutes ago... one of the jurors indicated that her daughter is going to get an award on November 8th, and the parent needs to let them know if the daughter can go, and the parent would have to be in that location, which is probably 35, 45 minutes away from here at 4:45. Bottom line is on the 8th, I didn't get the person who sent this, so I don't know if this is a person that's actually deliberating or not. I'm just saying that if that person deliberates, we might end up having to address the length on the 8th. Now, that also brings us up to a bigger question of how we seem to continue to slow down. We seem to go even slower when we try to speed up. So where are we on the defense finishing its case in chief?
Well, Judge, I will say that we're trying to get through as many witnesses as we can. Obviously, the cross-examination length and juror questions, I thought we would be through Ms. Beattie and a deposition this morning. So we're trying to get through everything. We do not believe that we will be finished. We're aiming for Wednesday midday at this point, Judge, because we're stopping at 4 today. We're stopping at 4 tomorrow. Assuming, depending on the lengths of the cross.
When we get back from lunch, I'm going to want a preview of who's coming the next 3 days, two and a half days.
Sure.
And I'm also going to need to know from the plaintiffs what you're looking for purposes of your rebuttal case, and then we need to talk about time.
Yes.
So I need to know all of that when we come back from lunch. Let's come back at 1:15. And we'll have that conversation. Is there anything else we need to address before we leave today? 4 o'clock today for jury instructions.
Nothing from the defense, Your Honor.
Anything from the plaintiffs?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, see y'all at 1:15.
All rise. Close and recess.
Hey, please be seated, everyone. Let's talk about schedules. So, who's going to?
I can address that, Your Honor. So, for the remainder of today, we have Dr. Sharon Levy by Zoom. After that, we have a nurse, Thatcher. My suspicion is that will take us to the end of the day, which today is 4 o'clock. If not, we do have a 35-minute deposition of O'Leary Johnson we can play. Tomorrow, we plan on calling our expert, Dr. Alexander. We plan on calling Dr. Dolan, who's an intensive care physician, and likely a nurse cook. And in terms of just completing live witnesses on Wednesday, we would likely call Nurse Ballwig, Nurse Arenas.
Who was it?
Sorry, Ballwig, B-A-L-L-W-I-G. I might have that a little off. Nurse Arenas, and potentially, although we're on the fence, and I'll talk to you about this, Your Honor, we have one remaining expert, Dr. Cohen. In terms of depositions, we have the deposition of Dr. Windham, the deposition of Dr. Padrone, that's relatively short.
No, it's a social worker Padrone.
Social worker Padrone. We have designated, but we'll talk about this, Dr. Kilgore. We have some short publications of depositions of Jack Kowalski, Maya Kowalski, and potentially Scott Kowalski. My guess is if you looked at all of those combined with O'Leary Johnson, we're probably looking at 3 to 4 hours total of remaining depositions that we feel like we need to get in front of the jury. So if we were to add up that with live witnesses and pushing the depositions where we have time, assuming, of course, that the cross-examination is succinct, then we should be in a position to rest by Wednesday.
I lost track. Are all of these that you just listed live witnesses?
Yeah, I'll run it down again for you, Mr. Anderson. So today, yeah,
I got Levy, Thatcher, on and on, down to O'Leary, but these are all going to be live.
No, O'Leary's not live. O'Leary has a medical condition. We'd be playing her.
All right. Anybody else by depo?
Yeah, so the live witness is Wednesday. We have two nurses and potentially Dr. Cohen. And by depo was O'Leary, Windham, Padrone, maybe Kilgore, although we might sacrifice one of these to get done on Wednesday if we're actually getting done on Wednesday. And then some shorter clips of Jack, Maya, and Scott Kowalski.
All right. Are there any further deposition designation objections I need to rule on?
Well, the only ones that, and Mr. Hunter reminded me, potentially Danielson as well, in terms of ruling on them. We have rulings on Padrone, do we not?
No. Can I speak to that, Judge? I emailed over yesterday. I don't remember when, to be honest. It was not today. It was either yesterday or the day before. It's probably 8 minutes of Padrone's dep. Because it had previously been designated and ruled on, but we just literally cut it down. And to ask counsel for plaintiff, are you going to have anything that you want to counter, given this is our designation? And they haven't had time to respond to that. I don't believe, though, you've already ruled on objections when there was much more designations. I don't anticipate there's going to be any actual objections, assuming we'll both pay attention to the previous rulings. I can speak to that.
To complete your inquiry, Your Honor, I would anticipate designating that we consider more admissions by party opponents for Mr. Kowalski and Maya Kowalski, something that in the range of 15 minutes each. I don't know that we can get those to you this evening if you need to see what they are. I mean, I think we just have the right to play them.
I don't need to see them unless there's an objection.
If there's no objection in the transcript, we can just go ahead and publish. Would that be your... Or do you want us to shoot to the other side?
You need to give them the designations.
Okay.
And if there is a specific objection, Mike, one of these cameras isn't working, and I think it's the computer needs to be rebooted, I think.
Sorry.
Because the little green light isn't on. It's the silver one on our left.
We will get them our designations for those this evening to see if there's any objections.
And Mr. Anderson, what are we looking at as far as rebuttal?
Well, obviously we have to see a little bit more about what they're bringing into it, Judge, but right now I would say we have 6 hours, one day.
Well, you have never put 6 hours of testimony in one day, period, the end.
We're trying to cut it down and make it one day. We understand the court's concern.
I don't think you've got the time to put 6 hours of rebuttal in.
Then we'll cut it down to whatever we need to. Let us think a little bit about it, Judge, because I had originally thought we had a full day and we could get it done then. But if the court's coming,
you're not like
we can't
2 hours.
It may end up being 2 hours. It may just be on, off, on, off, on, off. That was what we were originally planning to do.
Well, look, we have to let this jury deliberate.
So cut it down and get it down to a few hours, 2 hours, 2.5.
One second.
I understand. We'll try to get it down to a half a day or less.
What? No, who are you going to call?
Well, Maya, Jack, Joe Corcoran right now. Who else do you think? Yeah, Neuberger, if we can get him. There's still a question, and we'll know this afternoon or tomorrow whether he can testify or not. So he would be in, and he would likely be our longest witness. At, 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, you might have to move it over to the other feed, Mike. Oh, there it is. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
We understand your concern.
You realize I've got a trial period starting the Monday after this case.
Right.
In a totally other case.
So, look, yes, we will do what is necessary.
Well,
to get it done.
Look, the courthouse is closed on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what I'm hearing is you're wanting them to start deliberating on Wednesday afternoon or Thursday is what I'm hearing.
Thank you very much. I think
how is that going to be possible?
Well, unless the defense shortens this case a little bit with some of these depositions.
They are nowhere close to running out of time.
All right, Judge, we will get it down to 2 hours or less. I don't know if we can do it in an hour. Maybe. But I haven't really plotted out all of our questions yet.
Assume for the sake of argument, just assume that the defense rests on Wednesday and the plaintiffs had 2 hours, 30 minutes for their rebuttal case total. Are you all going to be able to cross-examine whoever they're calling in their rebuttal case?
That would take all of Monday with our cross.
Yes.
So we would be, so the short answer is if they were allowed 2.5 hours of additional time to put on rebuttal, obviously we have no time constraints, but if we focus our cross, then it sounds like then we would be at best closing Tuesday, and we would again note our objection to them getting more time, but I would say this, by my count, the plaintiff is probably down to at most an hour and a half left of the 59 hours that they have, probably a little less. The only way we're even going to be able to rest Wednesday is if, respectfully, the court holds them to this remaining hour and a half for cross, because if we see another lengthy cross like we saw with Ms. Beattie, which respectfully we had to have asked and answer questions sustained, we're not going to be resting Wednesday. Well,
I suspect the plaintiffs don't want me to mistry this case because they couldn't finish in time.
Absolutely. And my 2.5 was, I was considering, and when I say a morning, the cross as well. I hope I didn't come off at 2.5 hours of our testimony. That's how long I thought it would take us.
A morning.
But it down to 2.5.
This morning on Ms. Beattie, the defense used 25 minutes and you used an hour.
Yes.
I mean, we weren't exactly crisp today.
No, I was not. I got thrown on an order or two.
We do need to note our objection for the record and the plaintiff being given any more time. They still have an hour and a half remaining. They can conserve cross and they'll have 45 minutes for the rebuttal case of true rebuttal. If that schedule holds, then I can talk to my colleagues. We may be even able to clear off, you know, rest maybe at 1 or 2 o'clock Wednesday if the plaintiffs are going to be held to their shot clock so that they have an hour to put on the rebuttal case, and we can do closings Monday. That's a suggestion I can certainly talk about with Ms. Croyles and Mr. Hunter, that we could, if they're going to be held to that, or if Your Honor would say, I'll give them an additional 30 minutes, that we could maybe finish Wednesday. I just have grave concerns. I need to note for the record our objection to them getting more time, but I have grave concerns that if they're not being held to their remaining allotted time in some fashion, I'm gravely concerned that we're going to finish Wednesday. As Your Honor noted, they're 2-1 on their cross versus the act, and we do have several of my witnesses.
Ms. Beattie was obviously not my best effort, but then again, the witness was a little difficult to control. Judge, I'm not going to be doing that with any others, obviously.
You know, Mr. Whitney and Ms. Lawrence are there to actually.
He's taking the next one.
Dr. Levy, I note that you're here. I'm going to go ahead and put you in the waiting room, okay? Dr. Levy is out of our presence. I'm going to have to figure out where specifically the plaintiffs are. Here's my overarching view. I know that there's been a couple of days where we haven't been as crisp, but I think in week 7? That was only on a couple of days. Generally speaking, the plaintiffs have done on their cross-examinations, has done somewhat of a time limit. I know, Ms. Groves,
I'm sorry, Judge.
I know, and
I'm sorry,
know
it's just because we've been held to the standard of time, and we structured a whole case with the understanding of the limitations placed upon us, and the plaintiff just keeps asking for forgiveness and getting more time.
What I was going to say is, you know, I realize that, you know, your cross-examinations, generally speaking, was 1 minute to every 3 minutes of their direct, and it's kind of averaging out the plaintiff's cross-examinations about 1 minute for every 2 minutes of the defense. No, I mean, generally speaking, with exception of this morning, and I'm looking at it here, like on the 23rd, plaintiff's an hour and 30 minutes, the defense 2 hours, 55 minutes. On Tuesday, 1 hour, 40 minutes, the defense 3 hours, 45 minutes. Wednesday, hour and 20 to the defense 2 hours and 30 minutes. So I think it's fair to say that the plaintiff's cross was about 1 minute for every 2 minutes. They do have the burden of proof. Here's my understanding of the case law, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, that if a judge gives a time limit, that if the party that ends up out of time and is asking for more times, if they can show that they've used their time appropriately and that there are specific issues they need to still address, I'm almost required to give it to them. Kind of my understanding of case law.
If my understanding
of case law is incorrect, let me know.
My understanding, Judge, and I haven't researched this extensively by any means because we just planned on fitting within the time allotted, that they would have to show what exactly they wanted to do that they couldn't do. It has to, first of all, in this case, it has to be true rebuttal as opposed to just putting on the plaintiffs to, again, deny whatever we put on. That's not rebuttal. So we would suggest that before the court considering giving them any additional time, and we, again, oppose that, that they actually proffer verbally what the, quote, rebuttal is, so we are not putting this jury off for what's really not rebuttal.
Well, I'll add up the time, and if you want to say that give me a case that would change my view of what my understanding of case law is, because that's generally my understanding. And
I just to briefly touch, I think what the defense is really wrestling with, since we have 20 more hours to go, is we're for the sake of this jury and for the sake of judicial economy, we're looking at witnesses that we would consider potentially important to our case. We're talking about sacrificing in the name of getting this case to the jury on Monday, or, you know, to close Monday so they get out of it on Tuesday. And I think what's causing a lot of consternation on this side is, why are we cutting down what we may consider necessary witnesses if all it's going to do is give more time to the plaintiff to add and add and add to what we're hearing is not true rebuttal? And without going backwards, you know, since Your Honor did make what I think is a somewhat, as a fair characterization, you know, without going too backwards on this, they called a lot of witnesses that just really weren't necessary to their case, including their last witness was, you know, the grandmother of somebody taken through a Polish translator. So, you know, we do think we have a record that they've been allotted a lot of time, and it's prejudicial for the defense to be asked to sacrifice our witnesses in our case to leave them rebuttal. I don't know how else to address this. I'm just trying to voice what we would consider to be a prejudicial waiving of our right to call additional witnesses to try to get this case to the jury, if all that's going to mean is that the plaintiff gets more and more time to put on rebuttal. We haven't heard what's actually rebuttal about any of those witnesses.
Well, I think, didn't we start the defense case on the 16th?
I honestly don't know, Judge.
I can tell you.
I think we started with you on the 16th.
It was the Monday. We didn't start immediately because they did have a little bit of presentation with Dr. Richards.
Couldn't have been much because the plaintiffs used 55 minutes on the 16th. But so you started on the 16th, so that means today is your 10th trial day.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a total of 23 actual days that are witnessed. You're going to say that you're going to have two more days. So that means 13. That means you're going to use the same number of trial days that the plaintiff has used.
The only difference is when it were their trial days, as Your Honor noted, they consumed 3/4 of the day. We consumed 1/4 on our trial days. They're consuming 1/3, and we're consuming 2/3. But it bears in the time.
Yeah. Well, I said 2/3, 1/3, but I mean, or actually 3, yeah, you're right, 25, 75. And the reality is, that's my understanding of case law. I think if you want to disabuse me of my view, because it would seem to me that we all would not want to see a mistrial if I don't give them an extra 2.5 hours for rebuttal, which, looking at this, I think if we could do plaintiffs 2.5 hours, and even if you spent 2.5 hours on cross-examination, we can do that in one trial day.
So we would close Tuesday, but I would ask Your Honor.
Can I just ask one clarification? My understanding is they said 2.5 hours, including our cross.
I don't know how they can say that. I don't know how they could know how much time you're going to use in cross, just like you don't know how much time they're going to use in cross.
So with, again, our representations to the court of the witnesses we need, are they being granted more time above the 59 hours to include in cross, or is the court going to at least hold them to, if they have an hour and a half less?
I'm giving you a chance to provide me a little bit of case law. And so I'll readdress this later on this afternoon.
Okay, and I would just say that our anticipated ability to rest Wednesday is going to be obliterated if they're allowed to cross-examine.
I hear what you said.
Okay.
I heard it four times ago. I understand, but I am also very heavily forecasting to the defense or the plaintiffs that if they are not judicious with their time, either they're not getting more time or they're going to get themselves a nice mistrial because I'm supposed to be someplace else that following week.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
In conversation with the courtroom deputy, the juror who has the daughter issue on November 8th is one of the six jurors that would be deliberating.
I'm sorry, was there a time that she needs to be by judged?
Well, they would probably have to stop deliberating that day around 3:45 on the 8th. Anything else with a time issue?
Not at this point, Your Honor.
Anything else from the defense?
No, Your Honor.
Anything else we need to address before we bring the jury in?
We can always do exhibits.
For witnesses for today?
No.
Then
we do have a concern.
Just one?
We have many. One I want to speak about right now. Dr. Levy, if I'm saying that correctly, we don't show that she has an active Florida license to testify as an expert witness.
She's not a medical practice.
She's not providing standard of care opinions.
Who is Dr. Levy and what is she going to be testifying?
She's an addiction medicine. She provided a very detailed report. She's an addiction medicine behavioral physician. Her testimony is going to be about ketamine. The questions the jury asked about, is ketamine addictive? What are the withdrawal symptoms? Things of that nature. She won't be testifying on standard of care. All of this was laid out in a very detailed report.
Right, but for a physician to testify as an expert in this state, they must have a Florida license under 766 and 458. And our search indicates she never had one or has one.
It's more about, if you say it's not connected up to anything, is it even?
Do you have a specific citation for me?
.66103, I believe, Your Honor.
If they want to see it.
You sure that's the statute you're talking about?
And then would you have this word to get 450 in there? And 458.3175, Your Honor, requires the expert witness certificate.
458 what?
.3175. To provide expert testimony in the state, a physician must have this certificate. It doesn't limit it to only standard care opinions. To provide testimony broadly.
Was there another one after that? 766, 103, right. And 102. Okay. What in 458.3175
says if you don't have this certificate, that they can't testify.
So, 1A, Your Honor, it doesn't phrase it like that, but it conditions it on that the certificate will be obtained to provide expert testimony in this state, implicating that you cannot do so if you do not have a certificate.
Do you have a case that says that?
Not offhand, Your Honor.
It's been kind of an issue throughout, hasn't it, though, Judge?
Yeah, I'm just wondering why I'm dealing with this the second before the witness comes to testify.
Frankly, we were flipping through the resume over lunch, just going over things again, and happened to notice something that we frankly did not consider even being an issue for any of their experts. It's not something that you expect to have such a relatively minor thing, like getting the license I'm talking about, not at this point, but getting the license being a problem.
Well, I'm looking at 458.3175. And if you look at sub 2, it says an expert witness certificate authorizes the physician to whom the certificate is issued to do only the following. A, provide a verified written medical expert opinion as provided in section 766.203, which is the pre-suit. So that doesn't apply. B, provide expert testimony about the prevailing professional standard of care in connection with medical negligence litigation pending in the state against the physician licensed under this chapter or chapters. Well, there's not a physician that's being sued here. And also, the defense says that they're not calling this witness for a standard of care. So it would seem B does not apply. C, provide expert testimony in criminal child abuse and neglect cases pursuant to Chapter 827, dependency cases pursuant to Chapter 39, and cases involving sexual battery of a child pursuant to Chapter 794 in the state. Now, I think we've made it very clear that this case is not a dependency case under Chapter 39, so I don't see how this statute applies, just looking at the text of the statute. So unless you've got a case that says it applies in a case such as ours, I'm
I don't have that at the moment, Your Honor.
I'm tending to believe that this is a non-issue at this point. Okay. So I can bring in the jury, is that correct?
We are ready for Susan.
Dr. Levy, you're on mute. Can you unmute yourself, please?
How's that?
That's better. Am I saying that properly, Dr. Levy?
Yes, that's correct.
And Dr. Levy, are you currently outside the state of Florida?
Yes.
What state are you in?
Massachusetts.
Okay, Dr. Levy, I'm a judge in the state of Florida, and my ability to administer an oath only extends to the boundaries of the state of Florida. However, if you agree, I am allowed to administer the oath to you, but what that means is you need to consent to personal jurisdiction here in Sarasota County, Florida, for any sort of enforcement action, or let's say there's a criminal action for perjury against you. So understanding that you would be submitting to the personal jurisdiction of the state of Florida, do you agree I can administer the oath to you?
Yes, I do.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you give is the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to bring in the jury.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.